to order at 4 o'clock. You'll join me in the pledge. Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Nikki, before you go on, I'm going to have Chad play something. I thought it would be great for the board to see. Our music teacher put together a virtual winter concert. So we're just going to play the first song that they put together. Nice. And so everybody on Zoom could see that too, hopefully.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
So now, that's
did they do that in person or all over Zoom?
No, so they each did their own individual, my understanding, and Ange can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is they each did their individual parts and then the teacher put it all together by editing it. So there's three or four other songs on there, so I can send you guys the link if you want to see
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And then she also has the same thing for band. So, yeah, it was great.
So just to start, just for the record that board member Ronna Eaton is present, board member Waltz is present, board member Ish Medina is present. We have Robin Bogdanoff, who will soon be a board member in a few minutes, present. And of course, our superintendent Ginsler and myself, Nikki Crabb. So at this point, I will turn it over to Mr. Ginsler to go over the election results.
Okay, so for information purposes, the election results are as follows. The grand total of votes that were cast were 3,577 votes. The voter turnout, or that's how many registered voters are. The voter cast was 2,883 votes, which means that there was an 80.6% turnout for the vote for school board member. The governing body declares the election and nominate each of the offices voted under the election so that the highest number of votes go to the office. And so in order of votes, Robin Bogdanoff received 1,170 votes. Nicole Crabb, 1,157. Rebecca Courtright, 824, and Kathy Herbert, 751. So with that, having two openings, Robin Bogdanoff and Nicole Crabb were elected by Wheatland to serve a four-year term as board members for the Wheatland School District. So at this point, we need to do the oath of office. So you guys are gonna have to stand up. And you're going to have to raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Robin Bogdanoff.
Nikki Crabb.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and affirm the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will.
And that I will.
Will and I will well and faithfully.
I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I am.
Discharge the duties upon which I am.
About to enter.
About to enter.
Welcome as a newly elected and re-elected Wheatland School District Board of Education. So what I'll need you both to do is sign. And then we will mail these off to the county.
Okay, you're out.
See you guys.
Thank you.
So next up is the organization for the Wheatland School District Board of Trustees. So I preside over the election of the president. As you know, Kathy was on the board. She was the outgoing president. So I will preside over the election of the president, and whoever is president will then take care of the remaining elections. So I've listed for you there the process for nominating officers. There does not need to be a second to nominate the person to stand for the election. After each nomination, the board member nominated will either accept or decline. A motion does not need to be made to close the nominations. After all nominations have been made, the person nominated accepts or declines the nomination, then the motion for the first nominated candidate will take place. The first nomination that receives the majority of the votes will be affirmed and elected to the position. No further votes will be taken. So I open it up to the board for any nominations for the position of president.
Thank you, Brad.
Any others? Okay, with no others, we'll go to votes. All those in favor of Nikki Crabb as president of the Wheatland School District Board, signal by saying aye, and please do a roll call vote since we're on Zoom. So, Rana?
Aye, Rana Eaton.
Aye, Rachel Maltz.
Ishwadina, aye.
Aye, Robin Bogdanoff.
Okay, so now I'm turning it over to you.
Okay, next is our election of our clerk. So do I have any nominations for clerk?
I nominate
Ronnie Dean
for clerk.
Any other nominations? Okay, start with our roll call vote. We'll start with you, Mrs. Waltz.
Aye, Regine Waltz.
Oh, Mr. Ishmedina?
Ishmedina, aye.
Robin Bogdanoff?
Aye, Robin Bogdanoff.
And aye, Nikki Crabb. Okay, election of the trustee representative to the Special Education Council.
I nominate Regine Waltz. Aye, Ronnie Eaton. Nominate Regine.
Any other nominations? Okay. We'll start with you, Ronnie.
Aye for Regine Waltz.
Mr. Medina?
Aye.
Ron Bogdanoff?
Aye.
Nikki Crabb? Aye. Okay. So next we need to set the time, date, and place of our regular meetings.
So I brought to you the calendar for the year, knowing that we have, for the last 10 plus years, we have met on the third Thursday of the month, except during the months in which we have to meet a little bit early due to state guidelines or state deadlines. So the
COVID issues
or whatever. Yeah, I mean, these are just your set regular meetings. They can change at any point. You can also add special meetings. In the month of June, we typically have to have two meetings. In the month of December, we typically have to have two meetings. That may or may not be the case this December, but we can figure that out. We could do it all on the 9th, but the other piece of that is Robin, our newly elected member, does not get off work till 4 o'clock. So I proposed that we move the meeting time from 4 to 4:30 to give her time to get here from work. And the place of the meetings are here at the district office, maybe eventually back in the boardroom. So that's what I bring forward to you for this agenda item.
Does that give you enough time?
Yeah.
Okay. So do we need to make a motion for that?
Yeah.
Okay. There's no further questions or discussion. I will entertain a motion to approve the meeting dates, time, and place.
So
I make a motion to have the meetings moved to 3rd Thursday at 4:30 here at the district office.
Okay. I'll second it, Ronna Eaton.
Okay. So we have a first by Regine Waltz, a second by Ronna Eaton. All in favor, Ronna, you can go first.
Aye.
Regine?
Aye.
Ish?
Aye.
Robin?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Okay. We're going to appoint superintendent as secretary of the Board of Trustees. And that is what we do. We give to Craig. He is our secretary and takes care of all of that good stuff for us. So we need to do that every year. So unless there's any questions or comments, I will entertain a motion to appoint him as our secretary of our board.
I, Ish Medina, move to appoint superintendent as secretary to the Board of Trustees.
First?
Regina Walt, second.
Okay. First and second. All in favor? Ronna?
Aye.
Regine?
Aye.
Ish?
Aye.
Robin?
Aye.
Nikki Crabb? Aye. So Mr. Ginsler will be our secretary to the Board of Trustees. D, authorize superintendent and designees to sign warrants, contracts on behalf of the board. And that's another something we do every year. And it's just standard. So if no questions or comments, I will entertain a motion to take care of that.
I make a motion to authorize the superintendent to sign warrants, contracts, et cetera, on behalf of the board. Regine Waltz.
Okay. Ronna Eaton, I'll second it.
First and second. Ronna?
Aye.
Regine?
Aye.
Ish?
Aye.
Robin?
Aye.
And me, Nikki Crabb? Aye.
It's a good thing we have a twisted chair for
you. I was getting a little dizzy there. Okay, we are going to move on to reports and communications, and our first one is going to be our superintendent update.
Okay, so I have a few things to report, not many. We seem like we meet often, so the reports are shorter. But I do want to remind everybody that starting Monday, 12/21 of 2020, that's this Monday, students and staff will be on winter break. This year, winter break is 2 weeks. School will resume on Monday, January 4th, 2020.
2021.
Yes, thank you.
We want out of that 2020.
Yeah, we're out of 2020. I do want to report that we had an anonymous complaint filed with the County Health Department today. That said we were basically hiding our COVID cases and that we are running rampant with COVID cases and we're not reporting or tracing them correctly. The county received the complaint, spoke with our district nurse, Angela Waltz, and investigated this complaint. They went over all the positive cases that we have had and reported what we have had reported compared to what the county has record of. The county has determined that we have not only done everything we are expected to do, but also that we have gone above and beyond the requirements and do a great job handling all of the tracing, et cetera. I take this complaint as an attack on our district with no factual information to support it. I, for one, applaud our district nurse, Angela Waltz, for all she does and continues to do. She and I speak no less than 15 to 20 times a day, sometimes well into the night, making sure that we're doing everything correctly when it comes to the COVID cases. I think whoever filed this complaint should take a good look, hard look at what we actually do and maybe do some investigation on their own before they try to throw the district under the bus with the county health department. With that said, what I'm going to do right now is go over what our positive case count has been effective as of today, because we had a new one today, from July on. So Chad, I'm going to ask that you share this page. So as you can see from July of 2020, what I've listed here is how many staff we've had that have been positive COVID cases and how many students. So to date, we have 13 staff members that since July have tested positive. Five of those are certificated staff, eight of those are classified staff. Of the 13, currently eight of them are back at work. Five of them just tested positive this week, and they will not be back until January 4th of 2021. Students, we have 15 total in our school district. In the middle school, we've had eight. Elementary, which I'm calling third through fifth, we've had four. Primary, preschool through second grade, we've had three. 14 of the 15 are back in school, and one will be back on January 4th, 2021. So the other thing is I will read to you the email that we received from the County Health Department. In regards to concerning the complaint we received today, Angela Waltz and myself have gone over all the cases in the Wheatland School District to ensure that we are on the same page. We did not find any outbreaks aligning with the numbers projected in the complaint. We continue to work together to identify and address all cases and contacts throughout the Wheatland School District. Thank you, Alexandria Marzello. So I think it's important to bring forward to the public and everybody who's on Zoom, especially to the board here, what our actual case count is. A lot of speculation with people, because we do have people that go out as close contacts because we're being extra precautious on making sure that we do not have a case in which a person comes to work or comes to school and passes it on to somebody else. At this particular point, we have zero COVID cases that have started at schools. We have zero COVID cases that have passed from one person to another at schools. So with that also being said, I want people to know that there's a difference between wanting to know the information and needing to know the information. If we have a case that has been reported to us and that particular individual that is positive has no chance of infecting a staff member or a student, then we would not be talking to any of the staff or students about that. It is a HIPAA violation if we do. We only will talk to those people that are involved in what we would consider a close contact. Angela Waltz does a very good job of investigating that and making sure that we look at all aspects, including distance from each other, how many minutes they've been together, what the day looks like. We have had to send a couple of students, at least two or three students, home for quarantining because they were close contact. Luckily, none of them tested positive, but I just need to reiterate to the board that we are doing our job when it comes to keeping our staff and students safe. And it's not only my word on that, but now you have the County Health Department agreeing. Well,
and I think all of us who've worked with Angela can see how dedicated she is, how I don't want to say over the top, but she's over the top, and I love that, because when she came to us with the numbers and we looked at the science about whether to stop school a couple weeks ago or keep it going, it was because of her great record keeping, tracing, and knowledge and everything else, and keeping our schools safe, that we were able to continue by way of science, because our schools are the safest place. So I commend her on that. You know, she doesn't take any chances. So she may send a kid home who doesn't have it. I would rather err on the side of caution, and I commend her for that.
And let me clarify, the complaint was not against Angela Waltz. The complaint was against the district. But because Angela Waltz is our tracer and has been thoroughly trained by the County Health Department, then I need to bring forward that she is doing a fantastic job of keeping track of any cases that we have.
I have a question.
Yes.
This is Ronna. My question is, how is the tracing done? I mean, so that those people listening can know exactly what is being done.
Okay, Angela is on Zoom, and I'm going to let her speak to that, so that, because I will mess it up most likely. So Angela, are you on there? And if you so, can you unmute and give your synopsis of how tracing is completed?
Yes. So the way that we do tracing, Rana, is once we are told that there's a positive, then we have to verify through a positive test result, not just speculation, if there is a positive or not. So that's the first thing that we have to wait for, is a verification from a test result that somebody's positive. And then we call them and we interview them and go through whether it was a symptomatic test date that they got tested and were positive, or whether they were asymptomatic, because that changes the dates on when they may have possibly started being contagious. And so we use, you know, it's a whole interview process that we talk to them and get those dates. And then we have to trace back 48 hours from when we deem that person, the positive person, of when their infectious period started. And then, of course, the 10 days afterwards of that specific time. And then we go through whether they were on campus during their infectious period or not. And if not, then we just gather household information and we send that off to the county, and they continue doing their contact tracing that's outside of the school district. If they were on campus during their infectious period, then we look at if they had any close contacts to people, which means, you know, less than 6 feet for longer than 15 continuous minutes. And so at that point, then we go and we look at all those different things, if who they were in. As Craig mentioned, we have measured classrooms and that kind of stuff to look at different things also. And then that all still gets reported to the county, and they also, like I said, work in conjunction with us to figure out if there's more people, or who, they're the ones who do the official quarantine, but of course, once we find out there's a close contact, we're sending them home, and highly recommended them getting tested also.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So part of the complaint also was that our entire secretarial staff at Wheatland Elementary is positive for COVID and nobody's in the office. And again, that is not a correct statement. Again, I can't go into who is and who isn't. But it is not a correct statement. So with that, I'm going to move on, unless there's any other questions about COVID reporting. I'm going to move on to the attendance report. Currently, we have 1,274 students in our district. That is 104 less than we had last year at this time. If we were not being paid based on last year's attendance, we would be in a world of hurt, losing 104 students. And we will have to carefully look at that to see what next year will bring. Obviously, we still have to get through this year, but hopefully many of those students will come back if we are past the pandemic and able to get students back to school full time. Of the 1,274, we have 830 that are in our hybrid program, TK through fifth grade. We have 369 in our middle school distance learning program, and we have 75 currently in our home-based instructional program. We currently have 90 students in our preschool program, which is the same as last month, but 38 less than last year. And that is all I have for the report.
Okay. Communication from the public. Anybody have anything that is not on the agenda that they would like to say or ask? This is your time.
look at the chat here. Hold on. Craig, please unmute. I'm not muted, so I don't know what that is. So Anna said that they recorded at, this is the band music teacher, they recorded at home. Students were amazing. So are you, Anna. Thank you so much for what you did. Very nice. Jim Shaw, wow, that was amazing. Anna, you're awesome. Sherry, to everyone. And can we speak about reopening now or later? It is an agenda item, so it will be on the agenda soon.
Okay, so if we have no communication from the public on items not on the agenda, we will move on to the consent agenda. And if there's no questions or comments, I will entertain a motion. Otherwise, ask away.
So moved.
Second, Regine Waltz.
First and a second. Okay, Rana?
Aye.
Regine?
Aye.
Ish?
Aye.
Robin?
Aye.
Okay, and aye. Okay, we will move on to our action items. The first one, 7.1, lease of Virginia School with Yuba County Office of Education.
Okay, so I don't know if you read through this lease, but it's confusing at best. So let me explain it to you in English terms if I can. Basically, what's going to happen, assuming you approve this and the county office approves this, is we are going to lease Virginia School for $0 a year. And we are going to sublease Virginia School back to the county for $0 a year. Now, you might ask, why are you doing this? There's two reasons. One is it combines our insurance so that they can have county programs come over onto our site and we can bring our programs onto the county site. But really, it's about the reporting that the state does. Right now, all students that go to Virginia School are reported as a separate school. And it's causing a lot of problems for us, for Marysville, for Plumas Lake, any district within the county. If we are leasing the facility and then subleasing it back, it's no longer considered a separate school, it's considered one of our schools. And so then it's reported totally different and helps with the reporting issues at the state. So this was actually brought forward by the County Office of Ed. And we've had their attorney, which is the same attorney that we use, work through it. And that's what I'm bringing forward. And I have checked with the insurance company to make sure there's no additional cost for us. And there is not. We're already working side by side with Virginia School on many things, including letting them park their vans now in our bus yard because somebody came and stole one of their batteries in the middle of the night, or I think it was actually during the day or something. So
it was 6:45 in the evening.
6:45. So this is really a good thing. And I also think it helps us partner with the county office and allows some shifting of classes that would be good for all students. If you have not been on Virginia School campus, I would encourage you at some point to go there. Robin, that's where you're at, right? So Robin could certainly set up a tour for you. It is definitely worth the time to go see what they do with our real special needs population. And it would be nice if we had the ability to have some co-mixture of that with the regular ed program. So, so that's why I bring that forward to you. It'll go forward to the Yuba County office in January.
Sounds like a good deal. Okay, if there's no further discussion or questions, I'll entertain a motion for 7.1, lease of Virginia School with Yuba County Office of Education.
I, Ronna Eaton, make a motion for 7.1 to lease Virginia School with Yuba County Office of Education.
Reggie Waltz, I second.
First and a second. Ronna?
Aye.
Regine?
Aye.
Ish?
Aye.
Robin?
Aye.
Nikki Crabb? Aye. And we will send it on to the county. 7.2, discussion / action item, because we're not sure where we'll be then, but the middle school hybrid return discussion and action.
So if you remember when we moved our middle school, at the urging of Dr. Liu, we moved our middle school students back to distance learning in November with the understanding that it was through December 18th. The same thing, the recommendation to take a time out for our TK through five, which we chose to keep our students in school, but that advisory also ends December 18th. I have no new information from Dr. Liu on whether her she's going to re-up her advisory after the holidays. My guess is she will, based on what we're seeing. We'll open it up to the public here in a minute if you would like to, but my recommendation is that our plan on January 4th upon the return is exactly what we're doing today, where we leave our sixth through eighth grade students on distance learning for at least the first couple of weeks that we get back. And then we can meet anytime after that. And we bring our TK through five back on a hybrid program, just like we're doing now, with the understanding that if anything changes over the 2 week break, that I would ask for an emergency meeting to talk to you about that. That's just my recommendation. You guys, need to discuss that as a board and decide what you want to do. I think status quo works well for the situation because so much of what we don't know, we don't know. And the next 2 weeks, because of Christmas gatherings and all of that, actually the next 4 weeks because of Christmas gatherings and whatnot, we could find a significant continuation of more COVID cases that hit our county. And so it makes sense to just leave the sixth or eighth on distance learning until we know that we flatten that curve and we can bring them back. But again, that's just my recommendation, and I'm happy to entertain any questions. And I'm going to see if
I like the idea of everybody going back after the beginning of the year, even in middle school, especially with our numbers looking so good. But that's just getting those kids off. After reading that thing Paula forward, thank you Paula for sending that. That was an amazing thing that you sent us. It's just, you know,
I guess my question would be, since it's discussion slash agenda, I mean, would it be better for us to wait and see what happens through the holidays before we vote and have a meeting?
Well, so here's the problem. I mean, yes, we can meet any day during the holidays that you would like to meet. Preferably not Christmas Day, but any day we could meet and have this discussion again. I'm not sure we're going to know much because December 25th happens. That's when it's expected that families will get together. People are traveling, so on and so forth. Then January 4th is boom, right around the corner, and the weekend of New Year's. So we will not see, based on what we're being told and what we've seen in the past, is we will not see an influx for at least 2 to 3 weeks after those dates, because it takes that long for them to move in. In fact, what they're saying right now is this week is why we're seeing an influx from Thanksgiving. So if we came back on the 4th and had everybody here and we had an influx starting on the 6th or the 10th or the 8th, what I just don't want to do is come back and then go back to distance learning. And then, you know, that's really hard on parents. So that's why my recommendation is to see what happens with the cases over Christmas and then bring them back. I'm all about what Nikki says. I'd rather have kids back, and I think it's important to have them back. But I think there's no reason students shouldn't be back, except that I worry about our staffing. We currently are seeing, and Angela Walsh, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we're seeing an increase in staff positives and not necessarily an increase in student positives. So even today, we had to have, I think Sherry was teaching a class. We had to call in two subs at the last minute, and we were lucky to get them. So potentially we have a staffing issue. The issue is lessened if they can If they have COVID and they're still able to function, but they can't be at the site and they're on distance learning, they can still do their job. So that's the reason behind it. But
interesting question.
I saw there was a one school district that was actually when they were having a 2-week quarantine after their Christmas vacation.
So I can tell you what I know about the local area. Western Placer is coming back just like they are now. Rockland is coming back on a hybrid AM/PM model across the board. They had multiple things happening. They had AM/PM in some grades. They had AB in some grades. They had distance learning going in some grades. So they're bringing them all back into an AM/PM hybrid. Roseville High School District, the only reason I know about that is my brother teaches there. They're coming back fully with all the kids, but a half day. So in that instance, you know, you cannot social distance. So if a child gets sick in a classroom and they were there during their contagious period, the classroom will get shut down. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It will happen.
Do you know about Gridley? I was told today that they're open TK through 12 and full days, regular days.
So I know nothing about Gridley because it's in Butte County, and so they're not in our, they don't meet with Dr. Liu like we do. Live Oak is not in school. Yuba City is not in school. I did talk to Jeff from Plumas Lake a couple of days ago, and his thought process is similar to ours, but they're all on distance learning now. And so I don't really know what they'll end up doing. They could end up all coming back on a hybrid, but they have multiple models going on in their school, right? They have one that's an AB, they have one that's a something, distance learning, and then they have one that's something different. So they have a different situation because their schools are all clustered together, where we can't really do that because kids that wanted to go on a certain program couldn't necessarily go out to base to get that program, if that makes sense. So we do have a few people that want to speak, but I want the board to first start the conversation and see if there's a, see if you want me to open this up at this point.
Well, it seems to me we're going to have another meeting before the end of during the vacation.
So Starla, if you could unmute yourself, please, and be happy to hear what you have to say.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Awesome, thank you. So I just first want to say that the staff at Bear River has been amazing. I am an eighth grade parent and I am nothing but pleased with everything that they have done. So, and my son is also in the band recording. So if you guys have a chance to listen to him play the drums, that would be great. I listen all the time. So first I just want to say that I'm an eighth grade parent and I do have some concerns. I'm also a teacher from Marysville. I teach at Arboga Elementary. I came here prepared to give a whole spiel about how I feel that we should wait to go back to hybrid, but I was really impressed with what Craig had to say, so I would have to just reiterate what he has to say is waiting to not have the flip-flop of back and forth is what I feel is best for kids. I didn't hesitate to send him back in October when we went back because I really felt confident in the staff at Bear River and our numbers were down. And as a teacher, I was trusting that his teachers would also do what's best to protect him and clean their classroom. And I spoke with the office staff and they assured me that all the protocols you guys were doing, and that's amazing. And so I just want to say that I think that waiting to kind of see how things shake out, just like Marysville is doing at this time. I know I attended their board meeting earlier this week, and they also voted to keep out until see what Dr. Liu and the health office has to say about when it is safe for kids to return. So, and I just want to keep him safe, and I also want to keep his teachers safe, because I know that through all of this that, you know, they have to do their job, and so that's hard. And as a teacher, I'm also in person. I was in person for a month, and it's a lot of work. So I really appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Starla. Robin.
Are we good, Craig? Can you hear me?
I can, yes, thank you.
Okay, so I wanted to speak first as a parent also as a teacher and also as a community member here in Wheatland. I am concerned if we go back to status quo. I'm concerned for our community members, not necessarily for our littles, but for our staff, like you said, for our elders that we have at home, for people who are immunocompromised, that we really look at postponing. I happen to know two doctors that work at Rideout, one in the ICU department, who are saying that this Thanksgiving influx is not yet done before we get into the Christmas influx, and that this is going to continue. They are predicting, with their hospital full, meaning their ICU full at capacity, probably through the third week into the first week of February. Now, I know the high school voted to extend their break. They took away the February break and they put that week onto their Christmas break, and then voted to continue distance learning till at least the 8th of February to try to mitigate any community outbreaks that might happen. Rockland did vote to bring their students back, but it was against, because I attended that meeting, it was against their superintendent and parent recommendations. So when they voted to do that, it was strictly a board. Their super wanted to stay in distance learning, as did the majority of their parents that at least spoke anyway, and the board voted against it. So, like we talked about,
I just want to interject a little thing about Rockland is they weren't all on distance learning. What the superintendent wanted, as well as the staff, some of the staff and parents, was to stay status quo. Their K through eight or K through six at least were on a hybrid model.
K through six.
Going in.
They were.
I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Can I continue?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So that's okay. I am going to strongly suggest that I know last meeting that the understanding is Dr. Liu maybe doesn't understand how schools operate, and that's probably a true statement any more than I understand exactly how everything in our community and community transmission operates, because I am not a public health officer, doctor, or epidemiologist or infectious disease specialist. But two board meetings ago, we talked about deferring to her, and I would ask that we really seriously consider postponing our vote today and having another meeting prior, if we need to go ahead and determine where we're at that point, because these numbers are crazy. As of yesterday, we have lost 25. There have been 25 fatalities since the 1st of December in Yuba-Sutter County. 25. And there were only 27 from March, those prior 8 months. So it's not just that it's something that's happening over there anymore. It is happening here in our county. It is, we cross counties to shop, we cross counties to work. We really don't have a way of separating ourselves here in Wheatland. Our numbers are going up. I watch the only politician that I can handle nowadays, which happens to be our local supervisor, Gary Bradford, because he just kind of tells the facts and he backs away from it. And he doesn't put his spin on anything, unlike either side. And when he posted something this morning about a friend of his who happens to work at Rideout right now, just as a plea that this is not their normal, what they're seeing, this is not their normal, the ICU is full, contrary to the rumors that are being spread apart. This is not, they're full. They are full, and this is not the typical flu. And this was from someone who works there. I don't work there, and I do trust Gary Bradford. Like I said, he's one of the few that I trust. When he posts this from his friends, I know we just lost a mom of one of our former students. I know Carmela just lost a friend. So I'm asking you to really think hard before you put it to a vote today.
So I would just like to ask one clarifying question. What exactly, in a short little snippet, what are you saying? Status quo? Are you saying everybody goes back to distance learning, including TK through five? I don't understand what your
Okay, well, I'll try to make it a short snippet, Craig. You know how I am. It's a teacher thing. Short snippet, I think we all need to revert to distance learning until we can get this under control.
Thank
you. TK through eight.
Okay, thank you. Elaine.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you. I would just like to speak as a teacher. And I would strongly encourage our school board members to vote to have every grade, TK through eight, go to distance learning until we can come out of this with some peace of mind that the surge is passing. My understanding is that Yuba-Sutter County is at the top of all counties in the state of California for rising cases. Like the superintendent mentioned this evening, we have increasing numbers of our staff who are being affected and going out. So the reality is we are in a surge and we cannot continue the current schedule of our TK5 teachers with this crisis going on. And as a distance learning teacher for 6-8, I much rather be at home teaching remotely so that I am not on campus and risking being affected by this disease. I can do my job from home as good as I can do my job, if not better, on campus. At home, I have the peace of mind that I'm safe in my home. And I may be asymptomatic. And I don't know because I haven't been tested. So most of our teachers, as due to a recent survey by our teachers union, most of our teachers overwhelmingly want to have the option to teach remotely. Some teachers want to be on campus. So please consider allowing us the flexibility to teach at home if that is something that we would like to do. I would strongly encourage you to consider that given this crisis that we're in. I also am hopeful that this will pass sooner than later. And we have to ride this out. But with the rising cases and the increase of our staff being contacted and getting infected, why put us at risk? Let's just ride it out and be safe, especially when we're in a county where there is a tremendous surge that is the highest in the state. So please, this is temporary. Let's do the right thing for everybody. Our common welfare comes first. Thank you.
So I'm going to reiterate one thing, not to be argumentative, but our staff that have been infected and our students are not getting it at work. So we cannot control what they do outside of the classroom. And in fact, we have had two cases this week in which an employee has come to work knowing that they've had symptoms only to be turned away and sent home, but not before they interacted with others. So it's really a bigger picture than just school. Our employees, adults, need to do a better job of following all guidelines, not just those that are reflected in school.
And in response to you, in response to that, those of us that are trying everything they possibly can do to be safe and ride this out, that is not a foolproof guarantee that I have to be on campus around people who do not follow the rules. A mask is an excellent preventative tool, but it is not a guarantee. So why put someone in that situation?
Going to the grocery store, there's not a guarantee. There's no guarantee whatsoever. All I'm saying, my point is that our infections that have happened in our school district have happened outside of the school, not in school or passed through school. All right, so
as far as we know, because not everybody gets tested.
Like I said, I'm not going to argue the point. We have the information from our health department and from our school nurse, and we know where people are getting infected because they are reporting where they're getting infected and they're not getting infected at school.
And
I'm not saying that wouldn't in the future, but at this point. So I'm going to move on. Monica, did you want to speak or did you want me to just read what you wrote?
You can just read what I wrote because I wrote a lot.
Okay, Monica, thank you. Monica wrote, the staff at Bear River have been amazing through this whole pandemic. I just want to know if it will be considered that the distance learning be considered till the end of the school year. I just don't want to flip-flop. And Monica, I will tell you, we don't want to flip-flop either, but I don't think that making a six-month decision out there till June is prudent, given the fact that there's vaccines on the horizon and so on and so forth, and we could see a surge go away or increase. And I think that we have to make the best decision based on what we know today and reevaluate that often.
And the vaccines did arrive in Yuba Center today, because when I got my hair done, an ER nurse was there. And it is true, they have 55 patients in a COVID ward there. But there's a small percentage that are on ventilators. It's not to the extreme that has been publicized, is what she told me. Because they said it was more than half. But they do have 55 COVID patients in their area. But the vaccines did show up today to at least do the frontline workers in the next, right away. So that was the information I got today.
So Monica,
we have to understand that not everybody's going to take these vaccines, and we are the worst in California. I work for public health, Yuba County Public Health, and it's not getting better. Not everybody's going to take the vaccine. And I really, really agree with these teachers that are saying going back and forth. I mean, it's not good for the kids. It's not good for the parents. It's really hard on us if we're not working from home to go pick them up and do all of this stuff. I think if we just have distant learning until the end of the year, I think that would be the best option for everybody. You have to look at the parents too, and the teachers and the other staff and the kids. It's really, really hard.
It is.
And here's the thing, is looking at the parents, as we're going to have just as many folks saying, keep my kid in school. In fact, we probably see more of that than the ones that want their children to be on distance learning. Monica,
yeah, but you have to look at the overall picture and not just look at the votes. I mean, you guys are in this position where you need to decide too what's good for everybody.
Correct. Absolutely. Including the students.
And if you look, the students, that student that shot himself in Lodi happened to be my daughter's friend's stepbrother. And very small world. And the note he left behind was he was tired of being on the computer. He was tired of getting yelled at for not getting his assignments done while his parents were gone. He was tired. He just couldn't get yelled at anymore. He couldn't deal with the teachers nagging him because he couldn't connect and all of that. And that scares me to death, because now we've seen two, and this one hit really close to home for me. And having him on his Zoom and shooting himself with his sister in the other room, we have to look at it for the social and emotional piece too.
So then, is there another option if the kids, instead of the home-based study program or whatever that is, because there's no teacher involvement there, and I don't want to put my child in that. He needs teacher involvement, but I'm for the distant learning, but can there be a choice where there are some teachers that will do distant learning and I can do distant learning for my child?
Certainly that is something that could be discussed if we had enough students at a particular grade level. The problem in sixth through eighth grade is that they're specialists in their field. And so it would take a large number of them to want to go into distance learning or remain on distance learning, assuming what came back. But I also want to say that I've heard this number of times, we don't want kids going back and forth, back and forth. We have not had kids go back and forth, back and forth. We are in a situation in which we have actually stood the line on keeping our TK through 5 in school so they don't go back and forth. if they go to distance learning, we're just creating that back and forth, because I guarantee you, well, that's a bad word, because I can't guarantee you, but I do not believe that we will have to remain on distance learning for the remainder of the year. I just do not see that, given everything that we're hearing from Dr. Fauci on down, that by springtime, we should see some normalcy back in our society. So with that being said, I'm gonna move on to, let's see, Angela, just a note, today we had kids in person at sixth or eighth grade level. We would not be able to staff classrooms. We were lucky to staff who was not on campus would Zoom, but we had parents covering rooms, and that's because of the outflux of currently the number of teachers that we have out. And we also, unfortunately, have staff out for other reasons, not just COVID-related, right? They call in for other reasons, and that impacts the subsystem for us. Moving on, Heather, just wanted to note that Yuba Center noted that Yuba Center counties are listed yesterday as the worst counties in the nation for test positivity. Jenna wants to know how many TK through five teachers currently are out due to COVID. I don't have my list here. Let me see if I have it here. Hold on. Yeah, it's not letting me bring it up. Angela Waltz, can you check the list, please, and let me know how many TK through five teachers that we have that are currently out, Jenna, or do you want to know total how many we've had? Because I know
just currently is all. That's it.
I believe it's one, but okay. Angela will check the number.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Yes, it's one.
One, thank you.
Thank you, Angela.
Yeah, Tamara, thank you very much, but you haven't been to our school board meetings before. We open it up to the public. And yes, we do have discussions back and forth. I don't call it arguing, I call it a discussion. But you and I have had this conversation before, so I'm moving on. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So masks are required, is that true? If you are in around other people in our district?
Masks are required in schools, yes they are.
Except just in the schools?
TK through second are not required. They are highly encouraged.
So are adults required to wear them in our district?
Yes.
So how come you don't have one on?
Because I'm well over 6 feet apart and you wouldn't be able to hear me if I did.
I would be uncomfortable if I was in that room and you were walking around me without a mask on during a meeting.
See, I have my mask, but I'm not speaking, it's online. But when I'm speaking, I've had enough concerns from others that they can't understand us on Zoom, so I'm trying to accommodate that as well.
And I think
I teach on Zoom all day with the mask on.
What else do we have? As a parent, when will I get notified from the district about my child's teacher having COVID. So it just depends on whether or not, so if you are in a classroom where a teacher has had COVID and your child is a close contact, you will be notified via our school nurse. If not, we are not required to, but we have been sending letters home to the students in that classroom that says that you're getting this letter because there's a case of either a student or a staff member that has tested positive, but you are not deemed a close contact. And those typically go out within a day or two of our notification of a positive case. Understand that sometimes a teacher can be out or a staff member can be out for a week before we know whether for sure they're positive, depending on where they got tested and how they got tested, and how long that takes to come back to us. Some are, I mean, I think somebody got tested today that knew within 15 minutes, and we've had people that were tested on the weekend that still have not received their results. So it depends on where you get tested. So we basically have a few choices here, folks. Is we can postpone the discussion to another time as we get closer over the 2-week period. Any day that you want to come back, we can have that discussion and we can see where things go. We can go in with a decision tonight with the understanding it may or may not happen on the 4th, depending on what happens over the next 2 weeks, or anything in between. So I'll leave it to you.
Seems to me another meeting would be required to see where we stay after that.
Okay.
This is Ronna. I agree with Ish. I think that we should wait to vote.
I'm okay with your recommendation with the status quo and then waiting 2 weeks for Fair River and see what happens. But I'm okay having another meeting as well. But your recommendation seems reasonable.
I agree to the status quo now.
So let's go with this. We're gonna say, I mean, I'm asking if you would like to say status quo for now. That means TK through 5 comes back on the 4th. Well, they're not actually back on the 4th because the 4th is a distance learning day for them, but would be back on a hybrid model on the 5th. 6 through 8 will remain on distance learning until a future date to be determined, but at least a few weeks in January, maybe even longer, depending on what the surge is, with the understanding that if anything changes dramatically over the next 2 weeks, we just have another meeting.
Yeah.
Because at least that gives the parents an understanding of 2 weeks from now, this is the expectation. You're leaving tomorrow. When you come back on the 4th, you're exactly what you're doing now, so they know to plan for that. If something happens in the next 2 weeks, then we could meet at any point.
I agree. The parents have a good step. And teachers as well.
Okay, so it is a action item for the middle school hybrid return. So I will entertain a motion, and what it sounds like is we will be waiting on the middle school until a future date and a future meeting, correct?
Right. So there's no action item on DK through 5 because the reason this came back is when we went to distance learning with 6 through 8, we said we would bring it back on December 17th for a future discussion and or recommendation. So right now the TK through 5 is status quo no matter what, unless we have another meeting and change that. The 6 through 8, what you would want to do is make a motion to keep them on distance learning and vote on that, and then again with the understanding that we can come back at some point.
I know just a question on that survey, there was talk of, you know, 6 hours is a lot and they wanted a change of that schedule. We're going to continue with the full schedule when we go the way it is now, right? They're going to still be taking their six classes.
That's what status quo, in my opinion, would be.
Okay.
It would stay exactly as we see it today.
Okay.
Not tomorrow, because tomorrow is a different day. They're going to do their rally and stuff in the morning for 6 to 8. But exactly what we see today would continue on the 4th. And until we meet again in January and have a discussion, and it may change then or it may continue. I'm guessing that given what we've heard through the doctors and whatnot, that it's probably going to stay that way for a little while longer. I will tell you, I was hoping to get more information from Dr. Liu on Monday, but she canceled the meeting with all the superintendents. Don't know why, but she did cancel the meeting. So we don't have an indication from her whether her advisory is going to continue or not. But given what was said tonight, as well as what we all know, I'm guessing her advisory will continue.
Any other comments from the public, questions? Okay, we'll go to board comments.
Well, my comment is I accept what Craig just said about reading instead of having to vote.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that, did we?
So my first initial comment was just to have a vote and or take it for 2 weeks, but I like the way Craig explained it, that if something comes up, we won't meet.
Okay, so we'll make a motion that everything stays status quo. So I will
move.
Okay. Rana? You can say, nay. It's your
it's more like I want to abstain. Because I just feel like
you're not allowed to abstain legally, unfortunately, because you don't. You have to make a vote.
Have to make a vote?
Yeah. Unless it impacts you personally, you can't abstain from a vote.
Okay. Oh, you mean I don't have grandkids? Oh, no. I'm gonna vote nay.
Yeah. Reggie?
Aye.
Ish?
Ish both aye.
Robin, aye.
Myself, aye. And my board comment is welcome, Robin. And it's a great time to jump on in.
I deal with school staffing every morning.
Well, we're excited to have you here, and we welcome you here. So
thank you.
Yeah. Welcome, Robin. Also,
thank you.
She used to be my next door neighbor when she was 5, I think.
Yeah.
And I'd like the people to know that we hear you, and I know how difficult it is to wear a mask, especially when you're teaching, and especially for 6 hours. And I think that's part of my concern.
And I can't disagree with that. Wearing a mask is difficult at best. Mm-hmm. Our distance learning teachers are not having to do that, unless they choose to, but they're not having to do that because they're in the room by themselves.
Right. Okay, there's no further comments. We will move to closed session.